The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Friday. It's a Friday, everyone. The 17th of January, 2025. You know the whole thing about I told you so. I know it's horrible to say that, but I've been saying this for a while, haven't I? I've said that you know the economy is stalling. Because on this podcast, you know, I tend to read out quite a bit of data, and some of it sinks in if my brain works. But I've been seeing, you know, the economy stalling, and it's deteriorating. It's getting worse. And I think the thing that sticks in my head a lot is not only GDP and, you know, PMI data and all this economic activity, but that one CEO from Indeed, the recruitment company. And these companies have the best data. And you've had Hayes and Page come out saying opening spaces, recruitment is slowing down significantly. But Indeed, and he was on, I think, was it Laura Kunzberg a couple of Sundays back? And he said, new positions opening being advertised by them has dropped by 23% over the year. Whenever that's happened, they've seen a recession. And these are quality data points. Better than the ONS, because they've had problems collecting jobs data. And it's happening. It's happening right now. And like I said, we've had data out in the last few weeks from about inflation, about GDP, and today there's retail data out, showing a weakening of the economy. And I did keep saying that any inflation we have will be temporary because nothing kills inflation like a recession. And I believe we're going into recession. So the positive side for markets is the markets are pricing this in, especially the smaller cap end of the markets. It's been selling off for quite a few years. As I said, the high in AIM was on the 6th of September 2021. It's down 45-46% since then, the entire indices, and that bakes in even the winners. So it's been struggling a lot. Of course, the FTSE 100 is more international markets, bigger companies selling in dollars, all that stuff. And so, you know, it's at a high today. Why is it at a high? All-time high because of interest rates coming down. And I not only think now that, I mean, not only me saying this, economists are saying that a interest rate reduction is going to happen in February, the next Bank of England meeting. But I do believe they'll have to go faster because the economy is getting worse. This is good for the markets. Like I said, it's pretty much priced in. So it is quite bullish for the markets because, you know, it looks ahead as far as it can look ahead, the markets do. And I think with interest rates coming down a bit faster, we think now it's going to help juice the economy a little bit. So it's not a bad thing. By the way, one book, there's other, I keep mentioning Amazon. By far and away, Amazon pretty much sell more books than anyone else now. But there's one copy left on Amazon and they're going to run it again. So if you want to get a copy, and like I said, there's 14 days left of 50% off the Share Pickers Investment Club. If you like the book and you give it a positive review and 5-star rating, you can get 50% off the Share Pickers Investment Club. This does end on the 31st of January, okay? So, like I said, it's £1.91 a week. And if you can't afford £1.91 a week, you shouldn't be investing money, to be honest. You know, that's sad to say. But they can deliver that book tomorrow at, if you're on Prime, in one day. And then they run out of stock again. But go to sharepickers.com, click on the book at the top. There are other retailers that are selling their book that still have some stock. I know W.H. Smith sold out. I think Waterstones are sold out. But Harriman House, the publisher, they have copies. And I think bookshop.org have copies. So if you want to get in before that deadline kicks in, please visit someone else or get that last copy on Amazon. Okay, let's... By the way, do you know, I had a funny thing. Sorry to go on about this, but this morning, well, I woke up singing that Coldplay song. What was it? The one, the current one, and it can only come from me. I think reading about Chris Martin and somebody else trying to break India. I think it was all touring in India. Coldplay, India. I don't know where I'm going with this. I sort of do, but Coldplay, India. Yeah, I think the BBC and HBO. Why global stars are now hitting India? There you are, familiar cry. This is on the BBC. Is it business? Anyway, and I thought, how old is Chris Martin? And he did headline Glastonbury this. Chris Martin, he's 47, so he's 6 years younger than me. But he's trying to break India. And I thought, oh, what an exciting lifestyle he has compared to me. And I don't know why, I just fancied changing today. I didn't wear a pair of jeans there, I wear a pair of trousers. I don't know why I dressed up. I thought, do you know what? It's not about, the thing is, when you compare to other people sometimes, you're going to be left, you know, wanting. But then hang on a sec, would I want to be trying to break America at my age, or India, or whatever it is? No, I love what I do. I come into my little office in the garden, look at stocks of shares, and I genuinely love it. So it's not, you know, okay, he's got an exciting life, headline Glastonbury and stuff about, but I enjoy what I do. I wouldn't be wanting to fly into India. So what I'm saying is, if you enjoy what you do, don't compare to other people. I think that's the basis of why social media is now, we got so many kids unhappy with their lives because they watch social media. They watch people showing the highlights of their life. But it's not about that. It's about what are you happy doing? Find your happiness. And like I said, I sit here in the office with my little dog, Lola, and we love it. I don't want to be touring around, you know, playing to thousands of fans in India. I don't need that. It's finding your happiness. Social media has a lot to answer for, doesn't it? About, you know, comparisons and all that stuff. You know, because if you compare to other people all the time, you're never going to be happy. Are you content with yourself at the moment? Sorry, I don't know why I've gone with that. But anyway, let's start with the macro stories. Yes, my life is more boring than Chris Martin's, probably. But am I happy? Yeah! And that's the main thing, guys. Are you happy? Okay, FTSE 100. It's all-time high as investors bet on interest rate cuts. The FTSE 100 has hit a new all-time high this morning, surpassing the previous peaks it reached in spring last year, as investors ramp up their bets on an interest rate cut by the Bank of England next month. The value of... Have you seen today? Let's look at the markets here. Look at the markets here. I forgot to cover the markets. But just look at them. FTSE is going crazy. Let me just get the symbols up here. FTSE 100 is up by 1.44%. And it's literally on Wednesday, it was up by 1.2%. Thursday, up by 1%, and today, up by 1.44%. Now, this is why I talk about in the book. Now, sorry to bang on about the book, but what it is a strategy of investing. And it's not all about microcaps, even though I say how to become a microcap millionaire. It's not all about that. And that's why I got annoyed that one guy gave me a one-star review, didn't read the book, just said, thought it was all about microcaps. It's not. The strategy in there is all about risk, and it's about making money longer term, and it's about hedging your bets. And I say in the book, a low-cost, well-diversified fund should be the backbone to your portfolio. Why? Because there's a higher probability you'll make money doing this, investing in a fund like this, over the long term. To make money in microcap stocks, yes, you can make more if you get it right, but it's a higher risk strategy. So pair that with a lower risk strategy, and that's investing in a low-cost, well-diversified fund. And that's why I've invested, you know, what is it? I think like sort of 10, 12% of my total portfolio is in this Vanguard Life Strategy Fund. And it's going gangbusters. And so if the FTSE 250 or 250 goes well, or UK stocks do well, then I have an exposure to that. And they're more likely to do well over a longer period of time. It's harder to make money in microcaps, but you can make a lot more money, especially in a bull market. But we haven't been in a bull market in microcap stocks for over 3 years now. So it's tough. When times are tough, and I said in the book, back at the end, when the bull market, towards the end of the bull market, I pulled out of my fund. I had a fund back then, and I pulled out of it because I said, I can make more money now in microcap stocks. And I did. But trouble is, when the downturn happened, if I'd kept my holding in my fund, my portfolio drawdown wouldn't have been as great because it's well diversified. And I think the fund dropped by 3%, whereas microcaps at the AIM All Share Index dropped by 50%. So what I'm saying is, if you want an all-round strategy, and I think lots of people who've come back and read the book said, what I like about this is your portfolio management side of it, which not many investors talk about or book writers talk about. And I talk about portfolio management. It's about having control because, of course, companies you invest in do, you have no control over what the company does, what they release. All you can control is your exposure to the companies. So it's about exposure and managing your portfolio more than anything. I mean, I think that chapter on how, when I talk about, what to invest into, when to invest and how to invest, the chapter on how I think is the longest chapter in the book about portfolio management. So hopefully that will help you. And it's not all about market caps. Anyway, sorry about that. Sometimes I feel very chatty. I do apologise. I can't help that sometimes. I think I get it from my mother. Sadly passed away over 2 years ago now. But she used to talk to anyone and everyone. And sometimes I'd walk into a room, she'd be talking while she's ironing. I'd say, who are you talking to? Myself. And she'd be unashamedly talking to herself. So to my mother, if someone's in the room, it's a benefit. But they don't have to be in the room. She'll talk anyway. So sometimes I'd be very chatty. Anyway, FTSE 100 up 1.43%. FTSE 250 up by 0.3%. FTSE small cap, it's up by 0.33%. AIM All Share up by 0.31%. Got a full house, guys. Full house in the UK. All green on the screen there. Let's look at commodities. So it's looking like now the Middle East have signed off. This deal may be going ahead. It's been tentative. It's on a knife edge, but it's looking like it's going in the right direction. But Brent crude, $80 a barrel. It did spike up to 82 on the worries the deal would fall through. But now I see this now as rolling over into Europe. I do see Trump coming in and knocking some heads together in Ukraine and getting a deal done there. So I think going forward, this week quite good. What else? The gold, it's down 0.5%, but I see this. In fact, I just had a chat with John Mayer, a mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. That video could be good, and podcast will be going out on the weekend. But we see this as a consolidation period for gold and the amount of debt the government has and the printing of debt, the making of debt, the expansion of debt will be good for gold. And hard assets like that. I see it good for Bitcoin as well. In fact, where's Bitcoin today? It's up 2.74%, $102,000 a coin. It's not a coin, is it? A bit. That's a bit, isn't it? I suppose. And in fact, do you know what? If it breaks above here, I've seen this being very bullish. So I think, gold and Bitcoin will benefit from expanse of government debt. The growth of government debt. Let's look at the pound. Oh, in fact, let's look at the in fact, even now, interest rates looks like they're coming down because the yields on government bonds are dropping. That means, bonds are rallying. The 2-year is down 1.25%. The yield to 4.3% for 2-year bond. The 10-year, again, similar. 4.6 there is the yield, but it's down. The yield is down 1.24%. Copper is down 1.6%. There was data out from China. I do discuss that with John. Chinese GDP apparently for the quarter, year on year for the quarter four, was up by 5.4%, up from 5% forecast and up from 4.6% previously. Again, how much can you trust Chinese data? And the answer is not very much. Thank you very much. Was there anything else? A pound will buy you $1.21. It'll buy you €1.18. And that's about it there. So that's the macro news was pretty much there. News of inflation or interest rate cuts coming, happening after a combination of better than expected inflation data on Tuesday and more signs the UK economy is stagnating. Service inflation, perhaps the most important metric of inflationary persistence, fell to 4.4%, its lowest level since March 2022. So here we are. UK retail sales dip in December. Retail sales across Great Britain shrank last month as consumers took a cautious approach to Christmas shopping. Retail sales dipped by minus 0.3% month on month in December, the ONS said. The forecast was for growth of 0.4%. And it dipped, it contracted by minus 0.3. So it's a miss of 0.7%. The ONS reports that sales volumes at supermarkets fell, with food sales volumes down 1.9%. It was partly offset. That was surprising, wasn't it? The drop in food sales, because several retailers reported strong, you know, good sales over Christmas. I think Tesco said it is best ever Christmas sales. December's drop in retail sales follows a small 0.1% rise in November. So not only was the rise in November bad, you know, what's the word there? Thin or vanilla. What's the word I'm looking for? It means, you know, off colour, weak, diluted. No, that's not the colour. Over the last 3 months, not only was November bad, December contracted. Over the last 3 months, the sales volumes fell by 0.8% compared to the 3 months to September. So again, retail sales are stagnating. Do you know what? In a break with tradition, there's two, count them on your two fingers and two hands maybe, with fists, two positive government stories. So first and foremost, Britain's Financial Conduct Authority said on Friday it would collaborate with the government on a new approach that supports economic growth. They said, we want to collaborate with you in a fundamentally different way to support the growth mission. The FCA chairman, executive Nikhil Rathi wrote a letter to the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer. Reeves on Thursday urged Britain's regulators to move barriers to economic growth, tasking them with creating a regulatory environment that boosts investment and innovation. So I do see a rally happening in 2025 in markets because the gloom is priced in now, okay? I mean, we're looking at, you know, GDP below the last 30-year average, even with investment. But I think now they're up against it. And I keep saying this, I'm like a parrot. They're never going to admit the budget was a bit of a disaster. But they are now facing unbelievable amount of pressure to turn this around. So that's one thing, regulation. And of course, you've got to cut red tape. You've got to. I mean, you know, one of the issues with any investing, you know, people investing, governments investing, or international countries investing in your country is regulation. Get rid of the red tape. Make it easier for companies to invest in this country. So that's the first step. Here's the second story. £60 million, it's not a lot. That's a lot for an individual, but not for an industry. £60 million boost for creative industries to turbocharge growth. Hundreds of creative businesses and projects across the UK are to receive government funding to help them grow as part of a major boost to the economy, marking the first step of the government's sector plan for creative industries. Culture Secretary Lisa Nandy, I do quite like her. I think she's a bit of a no-nonsense person. I know she's, you know, quite lefty, but I do quite like her. I do think she tries not to toe the BS line. Anyways, bringing together more than 250 creative businesses and cultural leaders to the Glasshouse International Centre for Music in Gateshead today, as part of this modern industrial strategy, she will set out how the government will work together with the sector to increase growth and investment, starting a £60 million package of government support. This includes investment of startup video game studios, grassroots music venues, and creative businesses to boost British music and film exports, which will facilitate investment and innovation in communities, in turn supporting businesses and employment. So it's a good start. And we do have a creative industry that punches way above its weight, you know, film, TV, music. When I went travelling, when I was younger, I went travelling. I had 25 different jobs before the age of 25. I just couldn't find anything I liked. And I got into radio then, which I really loved. But what I found was, when I travel in Europe, that even on French TV, I worked in France for a while, in Cannes. In fact, the Cannes TV Film Awards, just erecting stands. And we used to live in this sort of caravan site, quite nice caravans. But they had TVs there, and then we used to put on the music channels. And there's so many British songs on their channels. And apparently they had to pass a government legislation to limit the spread of English music and English speak, like Le Weeknd, all that stuff, trying to keep their language and culture alive. And I thought, well, do you know what? How many... Do we have that problem in the UK? Do we have a problem with, French, Greek or Spanish music entering our charts and, their language sneaking into our language? And no. English is a cultural export. British music. It's so strong. It's very powerful. English artists, if they're good, are internationally successful. Like I was talking about Coldplay earlier on. How many French artists are internationally successful? Or Spanish? They're not a lot, So what I'm saying is back your winners in stocks as well as in sector investments. You've got a strong industry. You've got to back it. It's working. You're doing something well. Back your winners. Okay, time for some microcap news. I look at companies sub 100 million to see if they're good enough to be on the microcap league, which is a league I've created. The UK's... Do you know what? Microcaps at the moment, but the stocks on that league are doing well. Let's be honest. They're rated on growth and value and all that stuff. They're rated on the metrics that count that move share prices. Okay. But microcap stocks have been hammered for several years now. And honestly, once it turns, and it will turn, that league will be very hot. It is hot anyways. The companies on there have outperformed. What I'm saying is more and more people want to see it because when macrocaps start to move, they really start to move. And I've created the first UK macrocap league. This is the most boring RNS of the week. Are you ready for it? This is Brame Group. What's the ticker for Brame? Let me just type it in. Braim. The Brame Group, BMTO is ticker, right? It's got a market cap, what is it, of 18 million. Listen to this. Most boring RNS of the week. This is the title of the RNS. Roofworks on Hunslet Road site. The company will shortly be embarking on the replacement of the main roof of its factory and group headquarters in Leeds. This is necessary given its age. To deliver these works, the company has today executed a contract with NU Construction for a contract sum of £1.8 million. The work will commence in February 2025. It is intended that it will be financed by taking up a bank loan, as agreed in principle with the company's bank. A further announcement will be made when the bank loan documentation is executed. Sorry, I don't know what accent that was. I do like the northern accent, but it's salt of the earth, isn't it? But I don't know what accent that was, generic northern. But was that the most boring RNS you've ever thought? Talking about roof works to a factory. Bloody hell. Anyway, next. The Character Group, CCT, will be holding its annual general meeting at 11 a.m. Ahead of this, the group provides the following trading update. So they've got a market cap of 48 million. They do like merchandising or sort of... In fact, what are they... Let me just get a Character Group. They do licenses, don't they? Selling stuff for like... engaged in design, development and international distribution of toys, games and giftware. The business was founded in 1991. It's mainly distributed products sourced from overseas third parties. So they license stuff, lots of anything from Star Wars, all that stuff, games, toys, all that stuff. Market cap, 48 million. And they say, as reported in the announcement of our annual results on the 18th of December, trading conditions have continued to be challenging. Challenging. I do like that saying. Basically, it's hard. While sales in the 4 months leading up to Christmas on a like-for-like basis have been very similar to that of a prior year level, the board continues to expect sales and profit before tax in highlighted items in the current financial year to be at similar levels to those reported in the previous year. So they're looking at pretty much for 2024, they did 123.4 million of top line, adjusted profit for tax of 6.6. And they're looking to do pretty much 123 million, so down 400K. And adjusted profit for tax, pretty much similar, 6.6, 6.7. They have net cash of 13.2. That's expected to increase. And they've got a yield there, 7.4% there. But nevertheless, like I say, there's challenge. So that's not too bad. I think that's looking on the positive side a little bit. They say it's challenging, but it'll be the same. So there's no growth if they're lucky. So where are they today? They're down 1.5% to 254. But they have had a bit of a hard time of it. So share price is down quite a lot. I'll give you an example. If you go back to... let's look at, in fact, 2024 has gone, no, it's gone up and down, but going back, say, a couple of years, in 21, they were at £7.20 a share, they're £2.54 a share now. So that's that. That area is looking hard, isn't it? Next, Everyman Group. So they do these theatres and cinemas, and they're Everyman, is it Everyman, I think? What's it called? Everyman Media Group. Everyman Cinemas. Is it Everyman Cinemas is one near us in Winchester. We went there a while back. And it's nice because you can sit there and have a glass of wine and stuff. But I always think cinema groups are beholden, aren't they? They're to, you know, Hollywood, pretty much. Depending on what, you know, films are released. And even making films is hit and miss. You know, if you get a winner, you make money. If you don't... So they are literally down the chain there, you know, and so they're reliant completely on Hollywood blockbusters coming out with, you know, big hits, basically. And the weather. Sorry. I have my mother-in-law come to my office door there. She's down from Essex. Yeah, so, they're beholden, aren't they? They literally, they have their own product, pretty much. They show these films and they try to sell some popcorn or stuff. But if you haven't got, you know, some good hits coming out from Hollywood... That's it, you're stuffed, aren't you? Anyway, Everyman Media Group, E-Man, is ticker, announces the following trade update for the 53-week period ended the 2nd of January. They've got a market cap of 46 million. In fact, it's a little bit less than that today because they're down 11%. So what's that, 40 million, pretty much 39 million. Revenue, approximately 107.2 million, up 17% year-on-year. Group EBITDA, approximately 16.1. So that was 16.2 last year. So what you can say about that is even though revenue's gone up, their margins are squeezed. And they are talking about in terms of EBITDA, not real profit. So they're not generating cash. They say the market share's increased to 5.4%, up from 4.8%, but that could be because other companies have gone bust, while the cinema shut down, you know? Reduction in net debt to 18.2 from 19.4, so that's going in the right direction. But they are net debt of 18.2, so... If you don't know what that means, it means essentially take all the all their assets and its liabilities, and they still have debt. You know, you pay off all the liabilities of the assets you have, and you still have debt, pretty much, of 18.2. So if they sold everything off, they still have that debt. Current trading outlook: box office performance in the fourth quarter was not as strong as anticipated. The most notable underperformer being Joker. That's a laugh, isn't it? The most notable underperformer. They didn't even go, that's negative, isn't it? Why didn't they go with a performer? Anyway, the underperformer was Joker, Folie After. This was followed by Congestion in the Calendar. Oh, I hate Congestion in the Calendar, do you? On remaining blockbuster releases, with five in 5 weeks, leading to titles competing against each other, negatively impacting the period. I didn't realise that. So if you get too many big, you know, films come out, people just don't go and see them all. Of course they don't, because they've got a budget, I suppose. So you want them, even that. So even that is like the business model here is not good, is it? Because if you get these blockbusters coming out, they've got to be in order. They've got to be a couple of weeks gap between them, or a week gap between them, or 2 weeks, 3 weeks gap, because people won't have the budget to go and see lots of films. Guest spend per head, whilst still in growth for the year, softened during November and December due to a higher than expected proportion of family content. Okay. So I suppose if couples go out, then they spend more. Families maybe not, because the kids, the family, maybe their mother, father doesn't spend so much, but the kids will. Anyway, as a consequence of increased uncertainty arising from the autumn statement, the board is more cautious around the outlook for 25-26. So you should be. This is a real tell on the economy, isn't it? When people go out spending here, you know, on discretionary spend. Anyway, the forecasts for 25, they've been reduced from 127 million. They're expecting 107, of course, for this year. From 127 to 121, and their adjusted loss before tax now is going to be increasing. So they're going to be doing 5.1 million loss for tax for the year. It's down 800,000, it's increased 800,000, and 1.6 for 25. So it's the loss is getting smaller, but yeah, like I said, it's not a business model that's a strong one at all. It's very reliant on many factors. And lastly, I'll end on a very negative one. This is down 50% a day. This is IG Design Group, IGR. This wasn't, it wouldn't have been included in the microcap, summary here, but now they are sub 100 million. One of the world's leading designers, innovators, and manufacturers across various celebration and creative categories announces an update on trading for the period covering 9 months to the 31st December 2024, and an update on its outlook for the year ended the 31st of March. 25, this is. So market cap now around 80 million. Sorry, I'm dragging this on, down 57% today. Okay. 57%. And let's have a look here. So the key trading, challenging market conditions, retail trends experienced in H1 across a number of our markets have continued in H2. So it's not looking good. This week, a major, fourth largest customer of our DG Americas division, has re-entered Chapter 11 protection. These events have required DG Americas to establish significant provisions, circa 15 million, to offset exposure to the amounts receivable from its customers. Anyway, Outlook Group revenue for the year now expected to be 10% below last year and therefore below expectations, with both divisions expected to experience decline. Correspondingly, the financial year 25 adjusted profit is now expected to be significantly impacted, with profit delivery for the full year around break-even and well below last year, as well as being significantly below current market expectations. So they're expecting profit of 32 million, but now expect the break-even. Now, the broker has withdrawn guidance here. But for 2024, they were doing 800 million of sales, 800 million US dollars, this is, and the profit before tax was 25.9. So the margins are, what's that? 5% margins would be 40 million. So what? 3% profit before tax margins. And now they're going to be breaking even. So, so they have net bank cash. They did have about 95 million of cash, looks like, last year. So it's not such a bad thing, maybe an opportunity. But like I said, for the foreseeable, it isn't looking good. Oh, by the way, Dragon's Den is back on TV. I enjoyed that. That's it. Thanks very much for listening. Sorry it dragged on a bit there. Sometimes I go off at a tangent. I just feel quite chatty sometimes. Like I said, there's only 14 days left to get 50% off the Sherpicker's Investment Club by buying the book. There's only one left. There's only one book left on Amazon. There is books elsewhere. So sharepickers.com, just click on the book at the top of the page there and read how you can claim 50% off, and also find out other places you can buy the book. Thanks very much for listening. If you like the podcast, please give it a rating review. I apologise for the chat in this one. And we'll speak to you next week. Hope you have a nice weekend. Bye-bye.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.